Okay. It's gold. The hair's coming out by the fistful.
Oh, it is gold.
We got to remember for me to play the bibs.
Oh, yeah. Back.
That's me. Totally spaced on that. All right. 503-733-2970. What are you doing to your hands?
It's freezing in here. It's 68.
I'm perfectly fine. I feel it's absolutely balmy in the studio.
Yes, but I get permission to eat my body to keep yourselves alive if that happens.
Thank you. Mighty Christian of
you. I don't know what to say.
I call dibs on the thigh. It's, I'm just saying. Okay. Well, what part do you want? Come on.
I don't
want
to eat Tim.
What kind of a thing is that to say?
What if you were trapped in the mind that had caved in?
Well done, Tim Riley. Point Tim.
Oh, she doesn't.
No, she doesn't know it. Nope. Now, see, it's a joke within a joke. Now.
Right.
Would you believe that's one of the songs I couldn't find? I couldn't. That's why it's only, instead of a top five today, it's only a top two.
I got that as a gift as a child.
Like every year.
As horrible as that sounds.
Oh, no. Hey, Timothy. We'll talk about it later. We'll explain it all later. Don't you worry about it. By the way, Pamela Anderson's hair is coming up with a fistful. Sarah exclaimed this to be gold and the best thing ever. It's 503-733-2970. Ladies and gentlemen, make way for his thigh and the rest of him. It's Tim Riley.
It's time for the Rick Emerson Noon News Hour from AM 970 Solid State Radio. And now, from the Ministry of Truth, this is Tim Riley.
I only said that because I watched the Alive documentary over the weekend.
Oh, you don't want to watch that.
Well, I did. Because there was nothing else on. It was after I ate, though.
No. But before they did. No, the best part about that, and I think it's that Matt Stone, I think, makes this observation. If you have not seen Cannibal the Musical, I really encourage you to. It really is the best thing that those guys ever did, except for the South Park film. And it's especially so when you consider they were all like 19 and they made it on like no money while they were all dropping out of college. It's just genius. Like if Rodgers and Hammerstein, you know, were somehow mated with like Trey Parker and Matt Stone. It really is just flat out unadulterated brilliance, and it's got the best DVD commentary ever, because at the beginning of the commentary they put down four bottles of like scotch in front of them and two bottles of tequila, and by the end, by like half an hour in, I mean, it's like one of those bottles of each is gone. It's genius. But they're talking about the Alive documentary, which, you know, it's where they...
Go back 30 years later.
Yeah.
We're a plane over the site. A nice plane.
With a soccer plane, with a plane full of soccer players crashes, and then they have to eat a guy to stay alive,
no,
right?
More than one.
Yeah, but would they have to eat more than one?
Oh, yeah.
Don't they dry him out on the roof of the airplane? Welcome to the lunch hour, by the way.
No, on a piece of metal from the aircraft. Like a piece of aluminum because of the tracks of the sunlight.
Matt Stone,
I know
though,
too much about
on the does Tim Riley know too much about cannibalism? But Matt Stone makes this observation on the Cannibal the Musical documentary, how they watched it live, but he notices that they go right for the ass. It's like right for the butt.
It is pretty meaty.
Best show ever. Do you mean in general?
Yes. Well, I've never seen Cannibal.
Or cannibalism.
Yes.
But he said that apparently that's the thing. If you have to be a cannibal, right to the butt. Bam. Here's Tim Riley.
So what's John Kerry up to today, you ask?
I don't know. Oh, do you have that sound?
I do.
Oh, mm-hmm. Fantastic. Mm-hmm. Excellent.
Let's get right away here.
Make sure that I load this correctly. All right. I'm good here.
All right. Well, Massachusetts Senator John Kerry is under fire for telling students in California to make the most of their education or they'll, quote, get stuck in Iraq.
You know, education, if you make the most of it, you study hard, and you do your homework, and you make an effort to be smart, you can do well. If you don't, you get stuck in Iraq.
Oh, damn, snap.
Well, he's not running again anyway.
No, and even if he was going to run again, that's the end of that. That's over. However true that may be, and look, I don't mean to disparage anybody in the military. We've said before that we support the military and have many family members in the military and so forth. But by the same token, if you look at any sort of statistical breakout of like valedictorians who then immediately decide I'd like to go to Iraq, I suspect that the number is stunningly and staggeringly low. So people who choose to go to the military, I mean, it's all well and good, I suppose, but there's a great number of people who go into the military because they don't really feel like they have any other choice. Well, he's completely correct in saying that. Mm-hmm. There's nothing wrong with doing it as such, but there's a whole lot. Like, look, I mean, I'll say when I was in school, and it's probably different now because it's harder to get kids, but when I was in school, man, they just came through just looking for the dregs. I really, and I don't mean to knock the military, I really don't, but I'm just telling you what happened at my high school, where they just came through and all they were looking for, they would just go to the metal shop and the wood shop, and they just find the kids who came to school in wife beaters, and, you know, a lot of guys with primer gray cars who had suspicious bruises on them. Those are the kids that the military always went for. They left the kids in the math club alone.
Here's Tim Riley.
Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld says he is comfortable with increasing the number of Iraqis to take over their own security beyond the 325,000 originally planned. How on earth are they going to get this number of people? Earlier today, the U.S. commander in Iraq, General Casey, said he recommended that the Pentagon increase Iraqi security forces by an additional 100,000?
I'm very comfortable with the increases they've proposed and the accelerations in achievement of some of their targets that they have proposed, and I understand that the Iraqi government is.
I am sorry, Dave, I can't do that. The only way that we're going to be able to get 100,000 Iraqis is if we just go take some people from other countries and drop them in and call them Iraqis. Like, if we just go to, like, France and just round up, like, 80,000 Frenchmen and just drop them into,
They won't fight.
We'll make them fight. They'll fight. They'll fight or they won't eat. They'll be denied the first crack at the butt, so to speak. Come on, that's funny. Bam.
Failed callback.
Oh, my. Here's Tim Riley.
Well, the Black Student Union at Johns Hopkins University is calling on school officials to take punitive action against the Sigma Chi fraternity members who hosted a weekend in the hood party.
There ought to be a tea called Sigma Chi.
Hmm? Well, that's what this frat is. It was once suspended. They posted an invitation to the affair on a website calling Baltimore an HIV pit and asked guests to wear a bling bling ice grills and hoochie hoops.
Scotty, you know what you have to do. I'm sorry.
Apparently, that's some form of apparel.
Ask them to wear what?
Bling bling ice grills and hoochie hoops.
Fantastic. All of which are available at Gen X Clothing, by the way, in the corner of 82nd and Powell. The reason these earrings are so light is because they're filled with helium.
Hopkins student Justin Jones says racial racial problems racial problems and tension are apparent in the hood on campus.
Insensitive. There is this current of not necessarily that we're not welcome, but we're here on false pretenses.
Okay, whatever. It's like doing the news with Spike Jonze sometimes.
Insensitive.
No, which is great. And where's that at? Baltimore?
Baltimore.
Well, whatever. They'll all be dead soon anyway. Everybody in that city is only like one day away from getting shot in the head.
One big killing field.
That's what that place is. It's like one big... It really is. It's like one big Khmer Rouge in that town. So, there you go.
Halloween stuff. The Arizona Department of Health Services is sending out a warning to the kids. Stay away from bats. Spokesman for the Bat Association says a group of teenagers in Arizona decided to play with a bat and found they had problems last week.
The animal tested positive for rabies at the Arizona State Health Laboratory. And because we know rabies is almost always fatal to humans once symptoms appear.
Is that true?
The only alternative is to undergo a series of shots.
Now... Well, wait a minute. So, I don't understand. So, if you get bit, you're going to die? No, but I guess it's like if the symptoms appear.
Yes.
What are the symptoms of rabies in humans? I know in dogs...
Is it foaming?
But that's a dog, though. Humans don't foam at the mouth, do they? That'd be kind of cool. I mean, I don't want to have...
I see some people on the Max do that.
I think that's just spit in last night's dinner coming back up. I'd be curious. Please now be telling me what the symptoms of rabies also known as hydrophobia, in humans are, because humans, because I know in dogs it's with it, foaming at the mouth, and then they're just little bastards. So who knows? Maybe that's the same thing in humans. So if you get that in human, you gotta take them out back and burn them. But I guess if you know you've been bit by something that is rabid, and you get like 100 shots in your stomach with like a foot long needle, so that's good.
Meanwhile, it's time to talk about Halloween in Texas.
Now, see, now I'm wondering about that bat that I picked up off the sidewalk last year. Well, I'm not dead.
Okay. There was a bat on your sidewalk?
No, downtown Portland. Have I told the story?
I want to hear about the bat.
I got to warn you. It's going to...
Graphic?
No, it's not graphic. It's not graphic at all. It's not graphic at all. In fact, I was going to say it's sort of a weirdly heartwarming story. But, you know, it is actually, now that I think about it, sort of a perfect Halloween story.
Bats who care.
For this show. But Laura and I walking along.
Mind your own business.
Absolutely mind our business. By Ross Dress for Less. last year about this same time, last fall. We're walking along, and we see what looks like a leaf. But it's like a black leaf, and it's sort of rolling along the sidewalk. Like, that's bizarre. What the hell is that? And then we're like, well, what kind of creature is that? It's not a spider. It's not a bird. And we leaned down on the sidewalk, and there was a bat. And it was, and this is the cutest thing, it was a bat with an injured wing. And so it's like on the sidewalk, and it's all, you know, doing like the squeak just like it does on that episode of Gilligan's Island. And so the bat is on the sidewalk. It's got like a bum wing. And it's squeaking. It can't really fly away. And so we're sort of sitting there, not, you know, like poking at it, but sort of like trying to, you know, wondering if we can pick it up somehow and what we can do with it. And so right at this time, this really is a great story. I can't believe that I didn't think to mention this earlier. So what? Sarah's giving me the hurry up.
No, I was just like saying, tell the story, because it's the news hour.
It's okay.
I know it's hard. You keep saying it's heartwarming. I want to hear it.
Okay, well, anyway, so
he's letting the heart grow warm.
it's all about the build. But there was a bat on the sidewalk with an injured wing, and we're trying to figure out what to do with it. And it was the perfect ending that this goth lesbian couple appeared. And, you know, they have, like the, you know, the vampire, you know, whatever, like the I am not of this world the makeup and so forth, the raccoon eyes and whatever. And then, like the, you know, the short and the spiky and the hey. Anyway, so this goth lesbian couple appeared, and they couldn't have been more than, I don't know, couldn't have been more than 18 or 19 at the very most. And so they're like, what's that? Well, I don't know. It's a bat. And, of course, because they're goth, they're immediately fascinated. Really? And so then all four of us are standing around the bat. Anyway, long story short, we end up sort of picking it up on, like, a magazine that we found laying there. We can sort of scoop the bat up. So I guess in retrospect, okay, I didn't touch it. So we scoop the bat up and give it to, like, the one goth lesbian. She's just, like, adorable. She's there, and she's, like, in, like, the angry, like, black clothing with, like, pins everywhere.
My,
like,
child.
Yes, like, a whole lot of, like, F you. You know, like, that's her whole general vibe. I swear to God, I give her the bat with the injured wing, and she sort of, like, holds it up and begins to pet it and is, like, talking to it. And then her girlfriend puts her arm around his shoulder, and they just sort of walked off into the horizon. She's like, I'm going to take it home and nurse it back to health, and it's going to be my friend. And then, like, the hot lesbian goth couple walked off with the injured bat. It's completely and totally true. It's an absolutely true story. It really is, like, the best story. It's the best thing that's ever happened to me. So there you go. There's a... You see?
That could be a made-for-TV movie.
But it really should be. It should be like a weird Tim Burton made-for-TV movie, you know? Like, and at the end... You know, and then they do that, and at the end they go home and drink each other's blood or something. And then they make out. And they let me watch. Here's Tim Riley.
We're talking about Halloween in Texas. You're probably wondering what's going on there.
Just more than anything.
Sheriff Fowler stresses that older kids and teens should stick to the treats and forget about the tricks because it can injure the youngsters.
Throwing water balloons, you got a car traveling 30 or 40 miles an hour, and a water balloon, you know, coming out of nowhere and hitting the windshield on a car, I mean, it could come right in the front seat with you. It's just not a good idea.
I'm sorry, so don't throw water balloons. Why? Because they'll kill you?
Yes.
Oh, whatever. I mean,
we're talking about the future of Texas here.
Tired of everything killing you. Let's see here. We have Nathan. You're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hello?
Hello?
Hello.
Hi.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
Hello.
You were asking about the symptoms of rabies?
Yes.
Okay, so I'm not really an expert, but I know a little bit about it. One of the first symptoms that you start to exhibit when you have rabies is an immense tenseness in all your muscles.
Okay.
To the point where they start to contract, and so you're all, like, locked shut to the point where you can't open it because your muscles are that clenched.
You're sure that this isn't, like, you're not thinking, like, lockjaw or something?
It basically becomes a form of lockjaw because your muscles just become super, super tense.
And you don't foam at the mouth?
No, that's what a lot of animals do. But in humans, it reacts in the muscles mostly.
All right.
And there's no cure, but if they know that you get rabies, they can give you drugs that will stop it from getting worse.
So you're kind of like a werewolf. You sort of got it under control a little bit.
Kind of, yeah. Okay. They basically just start giving you drugs that keep it at bay.
All right.
Well, so for the rest of your life, you've got it, and you got to keep taking these drugs.
It's far less interesting than I thought it would be. All right, but thank you, Nathan. That's no reflection on you, of course. Thank you for the call.
Not a problem.
Right.
Thank you.
I was hoping you'd be, like, bleeding out of the eyes or something. All right, there you go. That's, why am I supposed to play this? I don't think those are bats, Johnny.
I believe those are seagulls.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's terrifying. Ooh. We're all going to die from the seagulls. Okay.
I recognize that from station Beautiful Music from the Seashore.
Totally. Have you ever worked for a station like that called, like, the, you know, the surf, the wave, the sound?
Wish. Your wish for beautiful music.
Yes. Fantastic. Let's do one more here and then we'll break.
Well, let's go on to a B, shall we?
Oh, wait, hold on. Let's not get ahead of ourselves.
I'll do this quick story while you're finding it.
And
14 towns in Siberia have declared a state of emergency after nearly 1,000 people have been hospitalized for drinking solvent, which was sold as fake vodka. Local authorities have tried to crack down on vodka bootleggers, but little success. It is Russia, after all.
And with sensitivity.
The chairman of the Independent Petroleum Association of America says there's absolutely no truth to the rumor about a conspiracy by oil companies to lower gas prices before the November elections, even though that's exactly what's happening.
What's interesting, if the oil companies could do that and have that effect on market and lower the oil prices to get the Republicans reelected, someone should tell them it's not working. Because the Democrats are gaining ground, it probably will win one of the houses.
I'm evil and corpulent.
Yeah, no, it's complete paranoia.
Well, here comes somebody to ruin things for everyone. It's Dr. Michael Kim. He says, and he's a dentist, he said the sticky stuff gets caught in braces and damages retainers, so the good doctor's buying back candy at $3 a pound.
On top of that, we try to benefit some other cause, so...
Okay, here's the cause that you're going to benefit, and I'm going to tell you this right now. The cause you're going to benefit is of larger children beating up small children, taking their candy, and then selling it to you. That's exactly what you're going to cut. Let's listen again. He's buying candy for $3 a pound?
That's correct, yes.
Where?
This is in Connecticut.
All right. So attention, you kids in Connecticut. So the key to your financial independence now is just to beat up people smaller than yourself and to sell your candy to Dr. Kim.
On top of that, we try to benefit some other cause. Mm. So we match the amount that we pay the kids in some sort of charitable donation.
Yeah, how could this
Who
go wrong?
Could find fault with all the proceeds going to the victims of Hurricane Katrina?
It goes to area shelters like the Branford Shelter. It goes to the soup kitchen. So we do donate.
So
quite a bit of candy because we take quite a bit in.
Okay. Nothing helps.
No.
Nothing has been fixed.
Nothing helps. Nothing gets better.
Everything is just in a heap of broken stuff.
The world is going to hell and we're all goners. Let's get this quick call about lesbians and then we'll break. Bill, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hey, Rick. I just want to let you know I have a great movie involving some lesbians and a bat.
Really?
Do you like to borrow it?
Is this leading up to a bad pun?
It's a whiffle ball bat.
I'm sorry?
It's a whiffle ball bat.
We're all fine there. Now I'm dumping that. Sarah's the thing blinking over there. Okay. Thank you.
That wasn't for the children.
Why did you have to walk right up to the line?
Why did you let him keep talking? You knew where that was going.
I didn't. What do you mean I knew where that was going? Sounds like he knew where it was going.
If you chuckle at him saying wiffle ball bat, he thinks that he can take it one step further and make you guffaw.
It's First Amendment Tuesday.
Yes.
So glad we took time for that call. Let's break.
I'm picking up on your sarcasm. It's the Rick Emerson radio program. We'll be back after this. 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. Coming up later on, Jim Roop, our top two for today. And Dennis Pitzenbarger, plus more of Tim Riley, your typo negative. It is Halloween. It's the Rick Emerson Show. You stay right there. Don't go anywhere.
Pilot, wash his hands and feel his face. Ooh. Pleased to meet you.
Mark Emerson Show on AM 970. Solid State Radio. This is the Neptunes remix of this, by the way. I think from that latest compilation that they put up. 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. You can email me like. It's rick@rickemerson.com. Ladies and gentlemen, here is Tim Riley.
Well, three people.
Oh, my.
Hello.
Am I here? I guess I am. From Kentucky comes word. Three people at the Harvest Table Tabernacle Church were stumped by a cow that escaped from a stockyard and entered the building.
They were stumped by a cow?
Stomped.
Oh, stomped with an O. I thought you meant like, oh, no, what is it?
Not like it was playing a game. The cow was tranquilized and eventually died for some unknown reason.
Oh. Well, that didn't have a happy ending at all.
It didn't. Well,
it was just sort of a kooky story about
Kentucky.
About a cow stomping on hicks. Mm-hmm. And I thought it was going to be the best story ever. And really, let's be honest here. How dumb do you have to be stomped by a cow? When is the last time you saw a cow run? And cows, I don't think cows could run if their lives depended on it. Cows don't run, do they?
No.
They just stand there. They amble.
They graze.
They graze. Mm-hmm. They graze, and then they lope.
Until somebody tells them, the time is up for grazing. Back in the barn until tomorrow.
The time is up for grazing. Jump onto this bun. Mm-hmm. That's it, man. The cows lope, and they amble, they graze, and then I eat them. And that's it. And I don't think we ever got a satisfactory answer to the question about whether there were once wild cows or whether there are wild cows now, but this certainly seems not likely to have been a wild cow. And this is not a bull, right? It is a cow.
Right, it is a Kentucky cow.
Well, I hope. Did it kill anybody before it died?
No.
Oh, that's too bad.
No.
All right. We need to get... Scotty, I take my life in my hands by asking you this because I know that your attempts to create watches have... met with what might charitably be called mixed results. I'm simply saying that you might give some thought to when animals attack, when nature attacks, kind of a sounder. Just some sort of a thought. Just something to think about it. All right, here's Tim Riley.
Time for a Darwin watch.
Here's your Darwin watch for Halloween.
I have a feeling some bad stuff is about to go down.
A youth has been killed when one of five passengers sniffing gas apparently lit a cigarette.
Fantastic.
18-year-old Thomas Kelson Hillman of Pinkton was killed after the gas explosion at 9:30. The four other remain in stable condition at Weru Hospital. We have no...
Where?
Weru.
I'm right here.
It's in Pinkton. Well, Senior Sergeant Tom Sampson of the nearby Blenheim Police Department... Because Pinkton apparently doesn't have their own police department.
Oh, of course not.
Said initial inquiries failed to find any fault with the portable gas bottle that had been handled by members of the group at the time of the explosion.
I think the fault is all on the... That's operator error right there is what that is.
Some members of the group were involved in inhaling flammable gases. It appeared that some had been sipping gas from the bottle minutes before the explosion. It appears that an attempt to light a cigarette in that vehicle a short time later may have caused that explosion. Initial reports indicate from the Blenheim Police Department, which is not far from Pinkton.
That's so great. Well, you know what? There's nothing like a good fresh cigarette rather than you sniff gas in a car. It really just sets the mood. Fantastic.
So, Mr. Sampson and the Blenheim Police and Fire Services are warning that substance abuse among teenagers involves flammable gases that are an extremely dangerous practice and one that can have tragic consequences.
It's also extremely dangerous to be an idiot, so try not to do that. And if you are an idiot, try not to have kids yourself.
No. That's our Darwin watch.
No, it was a double, I thought.
No, let me double check here just to make sure, but I only think it's a single today.
Really? Oh, that's too bad.
No, it is a single. Let me double check again.
All right, well, doesn't matter. All right, there you go. There's your Darwin watch for Tuesday.
Another one bites the dust.
Don't.
Another one bites the dust. And another one gone. And another one gone. Another one bites the dust.
Damn. By the way, we were talking about the new My Chemical Romance CD, which is called The Black Parade. There's not only do huge sections of that sound like Pink Floyd's The Wall and American Idiot, but you know what? There's a lot of Queen in there, too. That if you're a Queen fan, of Night at the Opera, and Brian May's guitar tone is all over that new My Chemical Romance CD.
Yeah, I listened to that. I was up cleaning and stuff this morning, and I listened to that whole album this morning.
Yeah, did you, how about that song with Liza Minnelli, that
Mama
song?
Oh, my God. I don't really like that song very much. I really like it toward the end when they, like, wrap it up. I also like Welcome to the Parade, I think that...
Welcome to the Black Parade, yeah.
Welcome to the Black Parade, yeah. I love that song.
And I love that Teenagers song, which is fantastic.
Me too.
Kind of sounds like T-Rex a
little
bit.
I'm not a big Mama fan.
Really?
See, I have to say, I have to listen to a couple more times, but it's just...
I have the edited version, actually. So there was some, a bit of naughtiness that I had to edit out, but I got the clean version. We'll play the light on. Don't forget, by the way, we got this, speaking of the clean version, we got the new single from Storm Large, which is Storm Large, and is it Storm in the Balls? How are they supposed to bill it?
Storm in the Balls.
Okay, but it's featuring Dave Navarro. Okay, so Storm in the Ball is a new version of Ladylike, which is the sort of the Navarro-ized version. So it's Jimmy, Dave, Davey, and Storm, and then Dave Navarro and Nate Morton. From obviously the Supernova and the House Band, respectively. I don't even know what Dave Navarro's from. From the Panic Channel, from whatever, from Jane's Addiction. He's from the douche place. So we've got that. So we'll play that later on, Rick. What do you mean about cows? Of course cows can run. Seriously, have you ever heard of a stampede? Okay, but that's not the stampede is not cows, though.
No, Nate grew up on a farm and just sent me the same thing. He's like, cows can run and they trample everything in their path.
When is the last time you saw a cow running?
I've never really been around cows.
Just saying.
Have you?
No.
Well, someone dangling a big piece of hay at a distance.
On a stick, yeah. Have you seen movies of cowboys herding cattle? But I thought cattle was just a steer or something. What is the difference in a steer and a cow?
You're talking about moo cows, aren't you?
About
like
what?
Moo cows. Like cows that appear in children's storybooks that are very tranquil.
Is this like when Adam Carolla distinguishes between dot Indians and feather Indians?
I suppose so, yes.
Okay. What?
You think of the docile cow...
Never mind.
Tell me that doesn't get to the bottom of the question.
I've just heard reservation Indians or 7-Eleven Indians.
Really? From who? From who have you heard that?
From my horribly racist friend. Is it a...
That clarifies.
7-Eleven or... fireworks.
Well, I mean, what's wrong with that?
Well, you can see other blasphemous things on TV. Yeah. One of these, I think it's TV Land, are showing the original episodes of Daniel Boone. And it shows him in the opening scenes of a show where the theme is playing, Daniel Boone fought for Americans to make all Americans free. It shows him shooting an Indian while the theme song is playing.
Really?
Yes.
Okay, gather the kids around the television.
It's wholesome family entertainment.
Good stuff. God. Let's see. Have you seen movies of cowboys herding cattle from the back of horses? A rodeo, perhaps. Cowboys chasing after a calf to rope them and tie their legs up. And by the way, Rick, Siamese cows are connected by their hair. Yeah, okay, thank you. And no, there were never wild cows. Cows were invented in 1962 in a lab in order to bolster the milkman industrial complex. Okay, thank you. Thank you. It's suddenly gone all skewy there.
So there's a difference between... cows that are bred...
I swear to God, I thought you were going to say there's a difference between Indians and cows. I swear to God.
No, I wasn't thinking that.
Okay.
There are the cows that are turned into steak for you meat eaters to eat at the steakhouse, like downstairs in Morton's. And then there are the kind of docile cows that you're thinking of that just produce milk that aren't made into steaks.
Really? Is that true?
Well, there are different sorts of cows.
They're made into steaks eventually, aren't they?
I thought everything ended up as a steak eventually. I thought all cows eventually ended up as steaks.
I'm not sure about that. You'll have to ask somebody who owns a mobile slaughterhouse. And there are several
Scotty,
in here.
I was just going to say, somebody in Southeast probably is listening to me right now.
I've seen these big bloody trailers that say mobile slaughterhouse.
How's your food, Sarah? Enjoy your lasagna.
I'm done.
I'm sure I'm not the only one who's seen these things. They are around in the suburbs.
Have you ever read Fast Food Nation?
Yes. Someone else in here who has, too.
Yeah, read it. No, we've all read
that book. I didn't eat meat for, like, a month after I finished that book.
No,
and then I forgot about it and started eating meat again.
Well, no, I have no problem with eating meat, but I'm not some...
It comes in square boxes.
Yeah, I'm not some hippie-trippy nitwit, but you know what that book did? And I had already quit eating at a lot of fast food places, but that book solidified it, though. That book really did solidify my desire to very drastically limit the amount of fast food eating that I did. You know, they make it into a movie, and the weird thing is it's not a documentary. documentary. It's like a fictional movie.
Yeah, and like Avril Lavigne starring in it.
Avril Lavigne, and it's directed by what's-his-guts, Richard Linklater. Oh, God. I just, now, see, after that call about the lesbians and the wiffle ball
You're
bat.
You're just scared that people are going to ridicule you about the cows.
I don't know. I'm not.
Cows or cattle?
I'm from a suburb.
A cow
all
is
right?
a cow.
You're from Kennewick. You're from Hicksville,
well,
USA.
Okay, but I
cows
live,
are different things.
I understand that, but I didn't live on a farm. I
didn't really allow free-roaming animals out there with all the...
It's not India.
Stuff,
they
right?
weren't wandering down
cows,
the street.
Cows up there do not walk on all fours. They walk on twos.
Okay. I had friends who were farmers and stuff, but I wasn't. I mean, it's like my, yeah, I mean, I, no, I'm not a farm type of guy. I told the story,
I didn't grow up on a farm either. I know the cows are cattle.
Okay, but I thought, this is the dumbest conversation. Okay, well, let me ask you a question. Is a cow the same thing as a steer? Discuss.
A steer is a male cow.
That's a bull. Yeah, where is your God now?
I'm not claiming God. Be all knowledgeable about cows.
Yeah.
But I'm not claiming ignorance either. I've never been around cows. I don't know what cows are.
I called Tim's thigh. Let's see here. Matt, you're on the Rick Emerson Show.
Yeah, Rick, long time, first time.
Thank
Here's
you,
the
sir.
Deal.
Yeah.
A cow is a female cow. A bull is a male cow. A steer is a neutered male cow bred for eating.
Okay, so cow, bull, steer... And
cattle and cow can be used to talk about all of them in a plural sense.
That's why you say grab the bull by the balls. Because
exactly.
they still have balls.
And they can all run, for your information.
That's Sarah Dillon who wants to do that, by the way. That's Sarah Dillon who uses that phrase apparently constantly.
All right, well, that's all I wanted to say.
Okay, thank you. I'm sorry. I'm busy crossing my legs over here. All right, that's...
When people talk about getting...
those punks off campus!
When they talk about getting confidence, that's the saying.
I thought it was by the horns.
No.
I don't know where you grew up. Apparently you grew up in a somewhat different household than I did. Did your mom run things in your house? Let's see here. Ray, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
It's right.
Okay. That really was fantastic.
Thank you.
Okay. And are we done? Okay. There we Listen to this. Look at this call. I have a fantastic cow story for you, Rick. Be that as it may, I think that's going to wait. Here's Tim Riley.
Has anyone almost been killed by a cow?
I was just hoping that it had stomped whoever these people were and that it had killed them.
And it did not.
And it didn't. So what are you going to do? All right, here's Tim Ronnie.
Let's have a zany Halloween story, shall we?
Well, can we, please?
Bruce
you should play Aaron's music.
Oh, wait, hold on. Let me...
No, not
no.
the scissors.
Okay, hold on. Damn it. I'm trying to find the... wait, hold on. No, just give me a second.
I kind of like the scissors. They're very good.
Well, they're sort of haunting.
Mm-hmm.
Not really all that haunting. All right. Let me, with the, there we go.
Bruce Waters used to simply hand out candy on Halloween, just like his neighbors in St. Petersburg, Florida, until he decided the holiday's ghoulishness really didn't jibe with his Christian beliefs. Rather than skip the neighborhood ritual, he put a Christian stamp on it. For the third year in a row, kids will leave his porch with a piece of candy, plus a religious tract.
And then they will slash his tires in anger and bitterness.
A concise, colorful handout telling how to attain salvation through Jesus Christ.
Or burn forevermore.
If they want supernatural, let's give them godly supernatural, says Mr. Waters. We've got to spread Christianity one person at a time. This is an opportunity to reach younger people and some parents along the way on a very strange night. It's the only time of year when people come to your door and ask to interact with you, said Rain Fodrett, the senior pastor of Briscoe Bible Church that offers tracts to members for Halloween distribution.
There's really nothing that endears you to youth, like when they come to your door looking for candy and instead you hand them a thing telling them they can't have sex or drink.
It just seems like a chance that shouldn't be missed.
All right, there you go. He's like that idiot that always lives on your block that gives you an eraser or some crap.
Or a carameled apple and they're all mushed.
Oh, see, now, well, what do you mean mushed? Like they've been stepped on?
No, like I'd have, we get carameled apples and I think they look good at the beginning of the night, but then at the end they'd all be stuck together and you'd get one with a big chunk of caramel missing.
Well, that's but if
and
you
my
don't...
mom would never let me eat
there's
food
a razor
people...
blades inside
yeah.
of it. Yeah, but it's so retarded.
We weren't allowed to eat any of our candy, so my mom went through it.
Here's what I don't understand about that. I mean, I'm not gonna lecture everybody again about how that's just a bunch of crap and no one ever gets poisoned crap and no one ever gets poisoned anything for Halloween. Doesn't happen. Never happened. It's never happened once. But the thing is, that's a mystery to me when you said that your mom wouldn't let you have anything people made, because I thought that, like, people just even bother to make anything now. Do you know what I mean? It's like I thought that we were all just so freaked out as a country. Like, I can't even imagine who at this point would even still be trying to give kids something. It's like you'd be dragged out of your home and beaten in the street by a mob if you try. You know what? Maybe I'll do that tonight just to screw with
people. Why don't you make some lasagna?
I think, well, you know, Clyde and I used to give out mashed potatoes. Clyde and I, like, kids would come to the door and we would have an ice cream scoop and we would just give a big scoop of mashed potatoes.
You should make s'mores.
Really?
Yeah.
You know what? God damn it, that's going to be my crusade right now. I wish I'd thought of this last week. I'm going to start doing this every Halloween from now on. My crusade is going to be just to give away homemade stuff and tell the parents they can shove it. Is raising a generation of... I agree with Scotty on this in a sort of way. We're raising a generation of spineless children who are afraid of everything.
They're going to end up being Democrats.
That's what I mean. It's going to end up being a bunch of beta males and females who accomplish nothing because they're terrified of their own shadow. So I'm encouraging everybody right now to give away some crap that they've made themselves. Toughen those kids up. So, and the whole thing just drives me insane. A bunch of idiot parents are just so as though you can't spot a freaking razor blade in a cookie. Like you're going to miss that somehow. And that cookie has a gigantic needle, and it's a cookie. You can't hide anything in there except flour. Jesus. The whole thing irritates me.
I like one of those new Gillette razors.
Yes.
As long as the package is no, but I don't see what the
this
problem
cookie
is.
This cookie cuts incredibly close.
Right. There's no reason not to give out razors that haven't been opened.
The first cookie lifts up your skin, and then the second cookie actually shaves close. And then the third cookie has a moisturizing and emollient in it. That's funny!
And the next house gives away Eau de Olay.
Are you playing the scissors?
Yeah.
Why do you keep playing the scissors?
Because it's... Because Scotty spent a lot of time putting the scissors sound together.
Did he do it?
It is amusing, though.
It really is. It's a funny ongoing joke. It gets funnier every time we play it.
Nobody else is doing this.
Yeah.
I'm sure others will by the end of the day. There are two or three people who might do this.
This will be Ed Schultz's new trademark. Here's Tim Riley.
Well, a Steve Irwin outfits complete with a bloody stingray barb attached to a khaki shirt are among the top Halloween costumes this year. Well, some found the Crocodile Hunter's outfits amusing. Others in the U.S. are outraged, which they see as an insult to the late fellow. Photos of celebrity comedian Bill Mayer at a Halloween party in L.A. over the weekend in the outfit is circulating on the internets. The San Francisco Bay Guardian newspaper recently published an article entitled, Bad Ideas for Halloween Costumes, with the number one suggestion, a Crocodile Hunter outfit.
I think it's at SarahXDillon.com, by the way. There's a picture of Bill Maher dressed as the Crocodile Hunter. I don't know how I feel about that. Whatever. I guess I don't care. Look, because the whole concern seems to be over the daughter, right?
Mm.
Seems like at this point the daughter's, the glass in her head labeled...
I think she's moved on.
I was just going to say, the glass in her head labeled like the crap about my dead dad is probably full at this point. Really, what's one more log on that fire? And she's 8 years old. Her parents can't keep her away from the internet and the television. That's their problem. Or her parent. Terry Irwin can't keep her away from the TV like this month. That's really Terry Irwin's fault. So there you go. And so forth. What do you call a cow with no legs?
Peggy.
That doesn't make any sense at all.
It doesn't.
Never mind. That's a lot better than the actual punchline.
What's the punchline?
Ground beef. Here's Tim Riley.
A Pulaski man suffered from what is described as severe burns to over 80% of his body when his homemade sheep costume caught fire at a Sumaco bar just before midnight.
Genius.
The Brown County Sheriff's Department was called to Chambers Hall Bar with a report of a fire in the bar. When officers arrived, they found Justin DeStarkey had been burned when his sheep costume made out of cotton balls and glue caught fire. He was dancing near the bar along with a bunch of other people, and they thought that a cigarette maybe brushed up against his costume, causing it to...
You think?
He was substantially burned and received many extensive injuries.
Fantastic.
So that's that.
Rick, about your Halloween candy. I use this night every year to clean up the drawer in my kitchen with soy sauce and ketchup packets that have accumulated throughout the year. Kids get various condiments and cough drops. Just thought you'd like to know. When I was a kid, I used to be an ass when I was a kid. When I was a teenager and you just wanted to screw with kids, I would totally, I didn't give out the mashed potatoes, but who was it? I think it was my friend Scott that used to give out ice cubes. And he would just toss them in real quickly, so it sounded like you were getting something. I have here the list of the most popular Halloween candies. We'll get to that next hour, maybe. And then we're going to have Jim Roop coming up later on. Apparently, he's got some exciting... It says this on the CNN sheet, actually. It says... Let's see. About Jim Roop. Do kids really know what trick-or-treat means? What's the most popular candy this year? Jim Roop talked to kids about their plans for this year's Halloween. Make, and then in all caps, and then it's italicized and bolded. Make sure you hear these, commands Laura in some angry, shrew-like tone of voice.
No, because, you know, I booked them, you know, for the times that they're going to go. So since, you know, Costantini was on first, I booked him first. And just
who's
as I'm opening my mouth to say Jim Roop, in her shrill voice, she's like, don't you want to book Jim Roop? I can't believe you don't want to talk about Halloween today. How come you don't want to talk about Halloween today?
All right. Good God almighty. Let's see here. Michael, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Yes.
Hi.
Clear up your idiotic cow debate about what types of cows do what.
Uh-huh. And here we are.
Yes. A bull is a male cow that has not been had the Rocky Mountain oysters removed. A steer is a male cow that has had them removed. A heifer is a female cow that has given birth, and a cow is a female cow that has not given birth.
Can you do that one more time?
No.
He knew what was coming, too. He totally knew what was coming. All right, thank you, sir. All right, and we're done. All right, there you go.
So among all those different groups of cows, which would have the largest population in the cow world?
I believe probably just the ones that are for milk, right? Because we drink a lot of milk in this country. It's a lot of milk time. And you need milk to make other dairy products like yogurt and cheese. So I would imagine a lot of, as you call them, moo cows.
Moo cows.
Which I do not believe are the, I do not believe
they're like
the
white
science.
With black spots or black with white spots.
All right. Moving on, I'll tell you what.
What about brown cows? Are those moo cows?
Oh.
Isn't a brown cow like a one-at-you banana? Yes, I totally.
Have you ever seen a brown cow with a one-at-you banana?
Only on special occasions.
Try to put down a Visqueen before that happens. Now I'm getting the emails about, no, I swear to God, when I was growing up, my neighbor got a big needle inside an apple. Didn't happen. Knock it off. Maybe come over there. It's 503-733-2970. Let's do one more, then we'll break. We'll come back with Jim Roop around the corner. Here's Tim Riley.
How about a Whitey watch? I'm sorry, a Whitney watch.
How about a Whitney watch?
Sorry, I got thrown off by the Whitey.
Oh! Ow! Hello. Genius.
Whitney Houston says, quote, I feel great and gonna make a killer album, unquote. Houston, who's 43, was escorted to a benefit for juvenile diabetes in Beverly Hills by her longtime record producer, Clive Davis. Whitney Houston, who was announcing her split from Bobby Brown after a tumultuous 14-year marriage, is stepping out as her own woman. She was escorted to the benefit for diabetes by longtime producer Clive Davis.
God, that guy's like 180. I swear to God, I thought he'd died two or three times.
No, he's been around forever.
He will never die. He's like that Ahmet Ertegun guy. He's just going to be around. He'll never, ever die. He's like a zombie.
I feel great, said Houston.
I feel great.
I'm going to make a killer album. The blonde Houston, wearing a black gown and diamond earrings, at the main table at the 17th Carousel of Bob Hope. Bob Hope. Oh, this is the character.
Today's Halloween.
Just a minute here. This is,
thanks for the memories, okay. Brains.
This is the carousel. The Carousel of Hope Ball.
Oh, not Bob Hope. It's not Bob Hope on a carousel.
It is not.
Oh, it's fantastic.
She was.
It's great to be here in Da Nang. Brains. Continue, please, Tim.
Where's Dorothy L'Amour? Well, she was, with Haley Barry at the same table and Barry's boyfriend, model Gabriel Aubrey. American Idol runner-up Kathy McPhee saying, Houston's, I have nothing at the event.
I have nothing.
In honor of the honored guest.
Followed by her hit single, I Am Covered in Sores. Jesus.
I don't know if I can continue this story.
We'll just wait for you to regain your composure.
Well, the couple wed in 1992. I don't know why the show is like this today. With Houston at the height of her fame as a Grammy Award-winning superstar with such hits as I Will Always Love You. During their marriage, Brown was arrested for drugs, alcohol, and Houston entered drug rehabilitation programs not once but twice. And that's it, our Whitney watch.
There you go. There's your Whitney. We'll be back after this. It's the Rick Emerson.
Give me the warning.
Sorry. The Rick Emerson radio program will continue after this. Jim Roop coming up around the corner later on our top two. What else? We'll talk about what part of Tim Riley you'd like to eat. And Dennis Pittenbarger will be here. It's the Rick Emerson show. You stay right there. I'm a rolling thunder.